This is Dial the Saint, introducing Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. Bernard was a person who accepted spiritual challenges. There were many occasions when he was called upon to give his energy, time, and talents to help establish God's kingdom on earth, while longing in his heart for some time for private prayer with God. Isn't this sometimes like our days, when certain pressing things must be attended to before we can do that which our heart loves? Bernard was one of seven children in a noble family which lived in the French province of Burgundy, near the town of Dijon. All the children completed their early education, after which the boys trained in military skills to prepare for service under a feudal lord. Bernard, instead, was sent for advanced study with a local bishop. He was especially interested in the arts and literature. People came to know him by his gentle manners, deep learning, keen wit, and the ease with which he spoke. His mother had always taken a special interest in him, and they often attended church services together. Her death when he was just 17 years old affected him deeply, and so Bernard opened his heart to God, begging to be shown the path his life should follow. While Bernard enjoyed the arts, he was also drawn toward the religious life, particularly that of the Cistercian order, which was more rigorous in its mortifications than the way of life practiced at the famous Cluny Monastery in France. One day, while praying in church, he became convinced his calling was to the religious life. His determination was so firm that the arguments of his friends had no effect. In fact, instead of changing Bernard's mind, they began to understand his reasoning and decided to join him. Within a few weeks, a total of 31 men, including four of his own brothers, had decided to go with Bernard and apply for admission as novices at the nearby poverty-stricken monastery at Citeaux. The year was 1112, and Bernard was 23 years old. The new wave of novices was a godsend to the saintly abbot of Citeaux. The monastery not only started to thrive, but Bernard's spiritual life deepened so much that he was ordained a priest. At the age of 25, Bernard was appointed spiritual leader of 12 other monks and sent off with them to a neighboring diocese to start another house. They stopped in a valley called Valley of Wormwood, which was surrounded by a forest. But Bernard's enthusiasm for spiritual things caused him to overlook some of the practical needs, such as housing and regular meals. The local bishop and people helped them build their first wooden huts. Their lack of farming experience made the first few years difficult. They were able to grow some barley for coarse bread, but when the vegetables failed, the only substitute was boiled beech tree leaves. Over time, personal prayer life was tempered by wisdom. Farming skills improved, and the reputation of the monastery under the direction of Bernard began to spread. The name of the valley was changed to Clairvaux, meaning Eye of the Sun, since it was made spiritually brightened by the monks. Deeply religious men joined the Cistercian order, so that by the time of Bernard's death, there were 700 monks and lay helpers living in Clairvaux. From Clairvaux, 68 other monasteries were founded all throughout Europe and as far away as Ireland. God gave Bernard the power to work miracles. His first was to restore speech to a nobleman who was attending Mass. He was able to confess his sins and make up for his wrongs before he died 3 days later. Many sick people were cured when Bernard made the sign of the cross over them. But perhaps the most well-known and remembered to this day occurred in a French church infested by flies. When they were all dead, Bernard said he had excommunicated them. Bernard was an excellent preacher and writer, but this was not something he chose to do. His sensitive stomach and frail physical condition did not allow him to do the field work expected of all the monks. In order that he do something, they voted to dispense him from field work on the condition that he take on extra preaching. He became one of the most eloquent, charismatic, and influential personalities of his time. His first published work was The Degrees of Humility and Pride. He wrote a treatise on the love of God and published a series of sermons entitled On the Blessed Virgin. He wrote the rule of conduct for the Order of Templars, which was a group of knights dedicated to fight in the Crusades, who gave aid to pilgrims and the sick. Because of his wisdom and fairness to all, his opinions were sought after in matters of religion and politics by princes, bishops, and popes, all who trusted his judgments. He wrote, "My life is overrun in all quarters with anxieties, suspicions, cares, and that there is scarcely an hour left which is free from those seeking attention from the troubles and care of business. I have no power to stop their coming, and cannot refuse to see them, and they do not leave me even time to pray." He never refused a challenge to Orthodox Christianity. Not only was he a great monastic founder, theologian, and preacher, he was also a reformer and crusader. He corrected the laxness of the Benedictine rule in the Great Cluny Monastery, and he preached against the anti-pope in favor of the real pope, who was Innocent II. He met and defeated in open debate those who encouraged sexual immorality and suicide, and preached support for the Second Crusade, which was intended to free the Holy Land from the Turks. He even wrote a guide for a new pope who had been his postulate, encouraging him how to best fulfill the duties of his office. Bernard died in the year 1153, when he was 63. He was declared a saint in heaven in 1174, and in 1830 he was named a doctor of the church. His life, thoughts, and writings were so filled with the spirit of sacred scripture that although he greatly influenced the 12th century, he is considered the last of the church fathers. Because of his learning, his vigorous but gentle style, and the love for all in his words, he is sometimes called the honey-sweet doctor. We are called upon to defend our faith every day, whether it be against doubts and temptations, or through our words and actions. Let us pray that we do not waste these opportunities which God gives to us, so that we can prove to him that we love him.